Wonder what I'm preaching on this morning. Proverbs 31. It's the women's turn. About a month ago, I preached on, it was a little over a month, divorce and remarriage. And then the following week, we talked about husbands loving their wives. So I said we'd follow that up with a lesson for the ladies. Ladies, respect your husbands. So I thought a good start to that. I don't think this is going to cover everything that the Bible speaks about the wife and her role and her responsibility. But I think it's a good start to look at Proverbs chapter 31 and look at God's ideal wife there. And I want to start by putting it in perspective here. We have God, who is the creator of mankind and who ultimately wants us all to be with him in heaven. That's his goal. He had a plan from the very beginning, and man would sin, and God would provide Jesus, his son, to pay the price for man's sins so that man could be in fellowship with God and man could to be with God forever in eternity and eternal life. That's God's plan for his creation. And so one of the first things God did for man was he gave the man a wife, a helper who would be suitable for him. And it was good. And so part of God's plan is for the wife to help the husband to get to heaven and the husband to help the wife to get to heaven. So I want you to keep that in your perspective as you consider what God says an excellent wife is. Ultimately, an excellent wife is a wife that helps her husband and her children to get to heaven to be with God. So what kind of woman is this? What does her life look like? What roles and responsibilities has God given the woman in that perspective? And I think that's, of course, what the world misses when they look at men and women today and they try to make men and women equal in their roles. Men and women are equal in God's eyes. There is neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. God doesn't view the man as superior to the woman, nor the woman as superior to the man. But he does differentiate in their roles. And so I don't think the world understands that. And I think the world is headed in the wrong direction, of course, as they try to make men and women more and more equal in their roles. And so when you hear the lesson this morning, it may be something that you really haven't been taught by your experiences, your education, your influences. You may not have even seen it lived in your life. You might not have been raised by a woman who understood, or a husband who understood, or a father, I should say, a mother or a father who understood their roles that God has given them. So I want you to get rid of all your baggage. And I want you to listen to what God says in his wisdom from the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom, and see what God's wisdom is about what makes a woman an excellent wife. And men, as you listen to this, especially those of you who are unmarried and have yet to choose or will someday choose a spouse, listen to God's wisdom and look for this kind of woman to marry. And young ladies who aren't married yet, look to God's wisdom and say, this is who I need to be in order to serve God's purposes. So that's the goal of this morning's lesson. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. And you might notice in verse 1 that these are the words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mother taught him. And there's a lot of dispute over who this king is. He's not listed in any of the Israelite kings. And probably the most logical conclusion is that it's another name for Solomon. Maybe, maybe not. There's all kinds of debate about that. Doesn't really matter. These are the words that a mother taught her son about what to do, what to look for, how to live as a king. And so she's got a lot of advice before verse 10, but that's where we begin our discussion in verse 10, where these words that his mother taught him are about an excellent wife. An excellent wife who can find, for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looks for wool and flax and works with her hands in delight. She's like merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She rises also while it is still night and gives food to her household and portions to her maidens. She considers a field and buys it, and from her earnings she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good and her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor and she stretches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. As you read down through this description of this excellent wife, you notice that there is much said about her work in the home. And there's also much said about her work outside the home as well. But the focus for the worthy woman, the virtuous woman, the excellent wife, is the home. And that's consistent throughout the scriptures. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul talks about a woman's primary role is to be the manager of her home. And that would include, of course, her children as she helps to raise her children. So God has given the woman a primary role of childbearing and a primary role of managing the home. And the world does not accept that. The world repudiates that concept, that that should not be the way it is, and we should never speak those kinds of words because somehow or another, the world says, that's demeaning. And I don't believe that's demeaning in any respect whatsoever. I think it exalts the woman. I'll tell you one reason why. I would not want her job. Her job is difficult. Her job is strenuous. Her job is heart-wrenching. Raising children, being the primary caregiver for children, is a difficult job. It's a very important role. It's a very influential role. Probably no one more than the mother has an influence on the children as they grow up until they reach a certain age, perhaps, where the father then extends more and more and more of his influence. That's just my perception anyway. I believe Jenny had such a much greater influence on our children as they were growing up because she spent all of the time with them. It's just a logical conclusion. She had influence because she spent most of the time with them. So the woman's role is so important, and God in His wisdom says, women, focus on this role. And you see that emphasized here in Proverbs chapter 31. And so let's point out a couple of things here in the text here. First of all, it mentions that his heart safely trusts her. And I want to focus in on that for just a moment. Because I think that's the idea that God wants to communicate first and foremost about the wife's role with the husband. She's an excellent wife. She's a virtuous wife. Number one, and first and foremost and primarily, because the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. You can imagine how important that is in the marriage, for trust to exist. And it's not to say that the woman, or the man, I should say, the husband doesn't need to be such an excellent husband that the heart of his wife safely trusts in him. That would be evident, of course, in our study a month ago about the role of husbands and how they protect and care for and provide for and love their wife. But in this context, it's talking about the wife. The wife lives in such a way that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. Think about how important that is. Because she fears God, verse 30, because she fears God, she does what is right regardless of circumstances, regardless of temptations, regardless of opportunities to compromise. She does what is right because she fears God. And so she can be trusted personally. She can be trusted domestically. She can be trusted economically. She can be trusted sexually, socially, spiritually. The husband can trust this woman because she fears God and she does what is right regardless of circumstances. That's her goal anyway. In any case, that's her motive. That's her purpose. She wants to do what is right because she fears God. That's the kind of woman, young man, that you're looking for. A woman who fears God, because a woman who fears God can be trusted. And that's what's most important in Proverbs 31. The heart of her husband safely trusts her. I can't emphasize how important that is. I have yet, and I hope I never do, experience an opportunity to distrust my wife. I trust her 100%, fully and completely. I just don't have any doubt in my mind at all about her commitment to God first and foremost, and thus then her commitment to do what is right in regard to me. I safely trust her. And I've never experienced a time when that was not the case. But I know men who have. And from what I understand, it's the worst. I mean, we laugh and talk about, you know, how freely we say, oh, that's the worst. Well, that is the worst. I can't think of anything worse than being married to a woman that you couldn't trust. That would be such a heart-wrenching thing to go through. And so I think that's important to observe that that's what the Lord emphasizes here about this woman. Her husband can trust her. Think about how easy it would be for a woman to break her husband's heart. She can break his heart by giving her love to another. I mean, there's a whole chapter in Numbers chapter 5 called the Law of Jealousy. You can go back and read that. And it talks about a man who is suspicious of his wife being with another man. And there's an entire law given by God on how to deal with that kind of thing. A woman can break a man's heart by giving her love to another. She can defraud him of the admiration that he needs. Men need admiration. She can defraud him of the sexual fulfillment that he needs. Men need sexual fulfillment. So when a man trusts his wife, he has no doubt about her love for him, her admiration for him, her desire to meet his needs. He can trust her in those things. Proverbs 5 and verses 18 and 19 says, "Let your fountain be blessed," talking to the man, "and rejoice in the wife of your youth, a lovely deer, a graceful doe. Let her breasts fill you at all times with delight. Be intoxicated always in her love." That's what the woman gives the man. And so when a man's heart can safely trust in her, these are his pleasures. These are his enjoyments. This is his satisfaction. The Bible talks about rejoicing with the wife of your youth all the days of your vain life which you live on this earth. A life oftentimes filled with pain and suffering and futility and emptiness and sorrow. But a man's wife, he delights in all the days of his life, because his heart can safely trust in her. She can cause him sorrow by being selfish and lazy and mean and hateful and causing the family to suffer. A few proverbs speak to that. Proverbs 14 and verse 1. "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands." That can happen in a home. The woman can pull down the house with her hands by being hateful, by being mean, by being filled with contention, by being unloving, by being untrustworthy. Proverbs 30 and verse 21 says, under three things the earth trembles, under four it cannot bear up. A slave when he becomes king, and a fool when he's filled with food, and a hateful woman when she gets a husband, and a maidservant when she displaces her mistress. He's talking about things that cause upheaval and difficulty and trouble. The earth trembles with these four things, and one of them is a hateful woman when she gets a husband. The Bible speaks about these things in a number of places. In Proverbs 21 verse 9, for example, better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than in a house shared with a contentious woman. But when a man's heart safely trusts in her, she's not that woman at all. She's not that contentious woman. She's not the woman who yells and screams and contends and causes strife. She's not that woman. Proverbs 21:19, better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. Proverbs 27, verses 15 and 16, a continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. You can't control her. And I've known of marriages like that. And the husband basically just ends up throwing his hands up. He can't restrain her. He can't control her. It's like oil slipping through his hands. He just can't get a handle on it. And that's the danger of a woman who is not what God would have her to be. A woman who does not fear the Lord and who does not live in such a way that the heart of her husband safely trusts in her. The Bible talks about in Proverbs 31 about how he will have no lack of gain. See how it says that in verse 11? The heart of her husband trusts in her and he will have no lack of gain. Literally, that phrase is he will have no need of spoil. What's spoil? Spoil is what you take from the enemy, right? So he'll have no need of spoil. That's because he's being provided for by his wife. He doesn't need to go take from somewhere else because his wife is providing his needs for him. A domestically defrauded husband is tempted to covetousness or overworking or even theft to make up for losses caused by his wife. A sexually defrauded husband is tempted to engage in fantasy or pornography or even adultery. None of those things are right for a husband to do, but a wife can be part of the responsibility for tempting him in those areas. The godly woman, the woman who fears the Lord, the woman whose heart, the husband's heart can safely trust in her, doesn't cause him those temptations. He has no need of spoil. He doesn't need to look elsewhere for his gain. She provides that for him. Women can be personally spoiled, sexually selfish, domestically lazy, financially wasteful, or verbally disrespectful. Any one of those sins can build mistrust and fear in a man and eventually break his heart. This woman does not do any of those. This woman is the virtuous woman, the excellent wife. The wife of valor, the wife of strength. That's what the word excellent or virtuous means. A wife of valor, of courage, of strength, of character. And so she does not defraud her husband. His heart can safely trust in her. So here's a few reasons. I never did put this up on the screen, did I? I only got it half ready. All right, that's what should have been up this whole time. But it's not much. Here's where I want to go for the rest of our lesson. Why does his heart safely trust in her? And number one, I think even though it's at the end of this passage of Scripture in Proverbs 31, it's because of her spiritual priorities. The summation of the description of this woman is in verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. Charm and beauty alone are deceitful and vain, and yet men often choose a wife for frivolous reasons like beauty. But ironically, when you think about this, beauty can actually add to the mistrust and the jealousy. Men, be careful what you desire in a woman, and make sure that you desire what God says you should desire in a woman. Beauty and charm are deceitful. They're vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What's the real attraction to a spiritually minded man in a woman? What's the real attraction? It's her reverence for God. Is it any wonder that her husband trusts her when she has that devotion to God? He knows that she'll be faithful to him because he sees that she's faithful to God. She's worthy of his confidence. She is, as Proverbs 12 and verse 4 says, the crown of her husband, because she fears the Lord, because her spiritual priorities. So men, know assuredly that the future of your heart, as well as the future of your children, depend on the spiritual focus and commitment of the woman that you choose to marry, the woman whom you choose to be the mother of your children. And know that your building her up spiritually gives you great gain. It's the right thing to do, to be her spiritual leader, to build her up spiritually, to reassure her of your spiritual dedication to God so that she will follow your lead spiritually. It's your gain. It's your children's gain. And your heart can safely trust in her because of that. Number two, you see that it's her selfless service that makes her such a virtuous woman. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. And that phrase, willing hands, she takes care of and manages her home without complaint. That's the concept of willing hands. It's hard work. So is going outside the house and working. For the man, it's hard work. If a man comes home complaining all the time about his work, it's a very negative atmosphere in the home. And if a woman does the same about her work as she manages the home, then it's a negative atmosphere as well. She works hard with willing hands. She launches out like a merchant ship to obtain the food and clothing her family needs. She rises, it says in verse 15, while it is yet night, to do what needs to be done for her family and for those who serve alongside her in the household. And I can remember countless occasions where Jenny's done exactly that. Now, she will say, well, it's because I got sleep issues. But she'll rise up while it is still night and be productive and helpful and do what needs to be done for her family. The third thing that is noted here is that she uses very sound judgment. She's a very sensible person. It says she considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. Verse 18, she perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She's a very shrewd woman. She considers the field and buys it. She has the strength of character to work hard to earn a disposable income for her family. So here is a woman who is not only managing her home, but she's also working outside the home. And she's working to provide more for her family. It's not to say that a woman has to work outside the home, but it's also not to say that a woman shouldn't or can't. The Bible doesn't say that at all. The Bible does say that a woman's primary responsibility is to manage her home. But in so doing that, she considers a field and buys it and plants a vineyard and works diligently to provide profit for her family. Another reason why the heart of her husband safely trusts her is her sacrificial sharing. As Daryl mentioned at the contribution this morning, she opens her hands to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. Verse 21, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. So she's working for her family to provide for them. But notice also that she makes bed coverings for herself, it says. And her clothing is fine linen and purple. She enjoys the fruits of her own labor for herself. And there's no shame or wrong in that whatsoever. We talked about being dressed in purple at the Chick-fil-A Bible study yesterday. Which, by the way, we had 10 people yesterday at the Chick-fil-A Bible study. So one word on Wednesday night and everybody said, okay. So, all right, next week, let's see how it goes. Might be back to two, I don't know. But it was great. We had a real good study. And we mentioned the rich man and Lazarus, that parable. And we talked about how the rich man dressed in purple, which was the clothing of the wealthy. Well, here's a woman who is a sacrificial servant. She's serving everybody. She's providing for the needs of her family. But she's also enjoying the fruits of her own labor. And she's wearing her fine purple. And it's okay, because she's first and foremost a woman with spiritual priorities and selfless service and sound judgment and sacrificial sharing. And the Lord is blessing her. And she's enjoying the fruits of that labor. And then we see in verses 23 and 24, her submissive support. And we're going to talk about this at another occasion, about the idea taught in the Bible about a woman being in subjection or subjecting herself to the headship of her husband. So that's not the focus of our lesson this morning. But you see an example of that here in this worthy woman of Proverbs 31. In verse 23, it says, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchants. So there she is. In the area of selling and so on, she's out busying herself, working, and her husband's sitting in the gates with the elders of the land, making decisions. That's the idea of the gates. The elders would sit in the gates, and people would come to them for judgment. They would make decisions for the city, for the conduct of the city, judgments of right and wrong, of wisdom and leadership. And so the men would be sitting in the gates and the women would be working behind the scenes, so to speak, in subjection, in submission to the leadership of the men. And that's something you see here in Proverbs 31, and it's something that you see taught throughout the scriptures. And again, it has nothing to do with superiority or inferiority. It has to do with the roles that God has given in the scriptures. And when the world is blasting us so hard to go against those roles, we need to pay attention to God's wisdom, and we need to submit our hearts and our minds to God's wisdom about, and not only His wisdom, but His instruction, His teaching, His commands about the roles of men and women. And women who support the headship of their husband, his heart can safely trust in her. And she is good for him, and she builds him up, and she provides the admiration for him that he needs to have the courage and the strength to get out there in the gates and make those difficult decisions, to make the hard judgments, and to do the things that need to be done. And she provides that kind of admiration to him, that kind of support, that kind of encouragement. They always say behind every great man is a great woman. And I believe that. I think the scriptures teach that right here in Proverbs 31. She is willing to help her husband be a great man, to be a great leader. And then we see in verses 25, verses 25 through 27, her strength and her dignity. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The excellent wife looks to the future with inner strength and dignity. Even though she faces many challenges, she laughs with positive confidence in the Lord's providential care. Now, I think this is an area that women need to spend much time thinking about and focusing on. She looks to the future positively. She looks to the future and laughs at that which is to come. There's only one way that anyone can do that, and that's through trust in God's providential care. She is a woman who fears the Lord, and her fear of the Lord produces that faith and trust that the Lord will take care of things. The Lord will provide. And so she's able to look to the future. And instead of being filled with worry and fear, she's filled with hope. She's filled with optimism. She's able to laugh at the possibility of bad things happening. Now, obviously, this is the ideal, and it's not easy to come by. But it's something that should be striven for, something that should be recognized and worked on. As she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness, as she speaks with the law of kindness on her tongue, she's able to do these things because she's strong. She has valor. She's an excellent wife. She's courageous. She has strength and dignity in the way she conducts herself. And then we see her secure standing, finally. Verses 28 and 29, you see how she's viewed by others. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Why do her children call her blessed? And I'll tell you why, it seems to me, because they see what she's doing. They see how she conducts herself. They see her work ethic. They see her kindness. They see her fear of God. They see her optimism. They see the way she conducts herself, her hard work and labor. And they recognize it in her. They recognize her character, and they call her blessed. And her husband praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Men, your wife surpasses them all. And that's the way you should view her. And that's what she should earn from you. That's what she gives to you. That kind of confidence, that kind of trust, that kind of expectation. There is no fear, no doubt in the relationship that you have. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. And then he closes with the summary statement, verses 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. And so you see the return that a woman gets is the praise that she receives from her husband, from her children, and the recognition that she receives from others that she is such a virtuous woman. She is a woman of courage and strength and valor. So I'll leave that with you this morning, Proverbs 31. And we'll continue with the discussion of this some other time, particularly in regard to the roles of men and women and focus in on the area of subjection, because I think that's an area that we need to study in the Scriptures and make sure that we understand God's teaching and God's instruction on that concept, because the world certainly isn't going to give it to us. And we need to understand the Scriptures. But I do appreciate your good attention. I remember last time when I preached on the men, that the men went away, feeling like they'd been beaten up, and I'm sure that today there's a danger of the women going away feeling like they've been beaten up. But think about what Darrell was saying today, when he was talking about comparing ourselves one with another. Don't do that. Don't compare yourself with another woman. Compare yourself with what God teaches in the Word of God, and look at God's wisdom, and look at His instruction, and say, that's a blessing.
It's a blessing to be instructed that way. It's a blessing to be reminded of these things because good comes from God when we conduct ourselves in the way that He instructs. So look at it that way and you won't feel perhaps so beaten up. We all need to be beaten up though on occasion. We all need to do better, don't we? So I appreciate your good attention this morning. If you're here this morning not yet a Christian, we're always ready to help you with that. Make your need known by coming forward this morning. We'll sit down and talk about it. And if you're ready to obey the gospel this morning, we want to encourage you to do that and make opportunity for you to do that. If you're already a Christian and you have needs that you would like us to pray for you about, we also are quite willing and eager to do that. So whatever your need may be, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.